Good evening, everyone. Happy Wednesday night. it's good to be here with you for Holy Spirit Guides. And what we do during this time is that we're just going over the messages that Holy Spirit has given me to be helpful to me in my process of awakening. And the messages began in 2004. And although we've been doing this for a couple of years now, we're just now up to January of 2006. So I joke that this could just go on forever. We'll see if it does. But that's where we're at, is the messages that came in January of 2006. I am giving you a link right now that goes to a page on my blog. And that's where I'm going to begin tonight. Before I do that, what I would really like to do, if you all would please join me, is I would like to go into Holy Spirit and say a prayer. So again, if you join me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I am here to ask for your guidance and your clarity, and to ask that that guidance and that clarity dawn upon our minds tonight. We've gathered here together for a purpose. We are here because we want to know ourself fully again. We're here because we do not wish to be fooled by the delusion any longer. We want to know the love that we are, and we want to know only that love. We want to see only truth, be only that truth, and let go of all delusion, all pretending that has seemed to become real. Only Holy Spirit, because we are such good pretenders, because we have done such a magnificent job of making the untrue seem real, we need help. We need the guidance of our heart to rise up, speak up, and guide us. And so we give our willingness for that now. We don't ask for anything specific, because from our position of delusion, we could not possibly know what we need next. We simply say thank you for everything we've been given so far, because we see at least part of its value. We realize how it has been helpful, at least somewhat. And we're grateful. We're very grateful. And so we humbly and gratefully ask for more, knowing that you are fully ready to give. And we thank you in advance for the gifts we are about to receive. Thank you. Amen. All right. MS Broom, I feel like I know who you are, and yet it's not ringing a bell. I know you're somebody that I know, and the name's not ringing a bell, the MS Broom, but I think I've seen that in your email or something. Who are you? Who are you? What do I know you as? I think you're a friend of mine, maybe. Ivy, of course I know you. Unity. Yeah, I figured it was from Unity. Yeah. What's your name, though? Who are you? Sandra, of course. Yeah. Okay, that's it. I knew I recognized I think this must be in your email address. This must be your real last name, maybe, Broom. But yeah, Sandra, of course. Great, Sandra. It's wonderful to see you. So Ivy and Sandra then know each other because we're all in the same course group on Thursday nights. Yeah. Welcome. Oh, yes, Ivy. Yeah, Sandra's usually the one that comes in last. I don't know if she's coming from work or something, but she usually comes in last and sits at the end of the table. Yeah. Great. Okay, so it's good to see you guys here. All right. So we're going to, can you come to Regina's course group? Yeah, Nick, Cliff, if you don't mind driving to Charlotte, we meet on Thursday nights in Charlotte, North Carolina at 7 p.m. So if you don't mind driving to Charlotte tomorrow, please come. All right. So again, Charlotte, North Carolina, it's quite a drive for a course group, but we have a good time. And last week we had good cookies too. So chocolate chip cookies. It was nice. All right. So again, we're here looking at the messages that Holy Spirit has given to me to help me, guide me, awaken me. And right now we're looking at messages that I received in January of 2006. I did provide a link. I don't think anybody new has popped into the room, but here is the link again in case somebody missed it. And what I'm going to do is just begin reading this message, and then we'll just see what comes. So we start off with a question. Holy Spirit, it is clear that trust is key to awakening, since we must trust you to lead us from everything we think we know to the remembrance of truth. Since trust is key, doubt can seem to be a major obstacle. What can you share that will help us through doubt? Now, I use the us language here, so someone else must have also been with me in this questioning. Someone else must have also been struggling with doubt, and I was asking the question on behalf of an us. Although I don't remember who that was, and I don't remember what the specific situation was. But what I can tell you is one of the greatest fears that I ever felt on this path to awakening. In fact, I called it the fear that brought me to my knees, because that's just exactly what it seemed to do. It seemed to bring everything to a complete stop. It was the ultimate panic for me. The fear that just tore me up was doubt. It was the fear that the truth is not true. It was the fear that the world is real and that anything that seems to come from the mind of enlightenment is actually the delusion, that what we want so much is for there to only be love, or for there to only be God, or for goodness to be all that exists, that our very powerful human imagination makes up spiritual experiences, inner voices, all of this, which seems very true, seems very sincere. Certainly, I would never, ever, ever say at the level of form that I am a fake. There is no doubt in my mind that at the level of form, I have always been very sincere in my practice, in my seeking or my search, in my listening to the inner voice, and everything, every word that has ever been written, I honestly heard. Never at the level of form could I say that I was a fake. But there was a fear, a very real fear, that somehow, without me knowing it, I was making all of this stuff that we call truth up. And whenever that fear would come into my mind, it was the worst. And I think probably, it seems like I remember telling this story recently, though I don't exactly remember where, but I think I probably told you recently that, I finally faced the full brunt of this fear last year. Last April, I believe it was, April of 2008, when it came on in a very, very, very strong way. I doubted everything that I'd ever heard. I doubted every person who ever seemed enlightened, seemed to be coming from wisdom. I doubted everything that was not right here in the world, easy to verify with the senses, the five senses. And I think I mentioned to you that what I really did was I laid here on the love seat in my office, and I swear I laid here for a week with my tongue hanging out. I mean, I couldn't do anything but lay there while I just felt the full brunt of that fear. But what I did is I felt it was very important. The funny thing is, this is the humor in this story. The funny thing is, as big as the fear seemed, my trust or my remembrance, I don't even know which it was, my trust in truth or my remembrance of truth was actually stronger. So I was able to lay here for a full week and feel the full brunt of that fear that the truth is not true, with the knowledge that this was going to pass and that I was going to be okay. And I didn't struggle against it. I didn't fight it in any way. I didn't judge myself for experiencing it. I just laid there and felt it. And since that time, this doubt that was really crippling to me from time to time, so far it has not returned. I've not experienced it. In fact, I would say now it seems so obvious to me that the truth is true that the doubt is a little bit of just a giggle. It's just kind of a giggle. But obviously that was April of 2008 when I finally allowed myself to be done with this doubt. So in January of 2006, I was not yet done. So this doubt would come over me where I would doubt everything I was writing. And I was writing NTI at this time. I would doubt everything. And it just terrified me. It terrified me. My greatest fear was that I was making this up and not knowing it. That was my greatest fear. And it terrified me. So back to the question then, and then we'll look at the answer I was given. So again, Holy Spirit, it is clear that trust is key to awakening, since we must trust you to lead us from everything we think we know to the remembrance of truth. Since trust is key, doubt can seem to be a major obstacle. Now you guys know how major I mean by that. What can you share that will help us through doubt? Okay, so here's the first answer. Holy Spirit said, first, I would ask you to remember what you want. You are the Son of God. What do you want? Is it the experience of separation, or is it the remembrance and knowledge of truth? Now, I'll tell you exactly what Holy Spirit is doing here. I told you that last April, when I finally faced the full brunt of this fear, that somehow either my trust or my remembrance was stronger than the fear, because as I laid there experiencing the full brunt of the fear, I knew that it would pass and that I would be okay, that I would not doubt anymore. I knew that it would pass and that I would be okay and I would not doubt anymore. So that's what was biggest in me, whether that was a remembrance, a trust, or as Holy Spirit is calling it here, a desire. That calling, I'm going to call it a calling, that calling in me to remember truth is bigger than any fear. That calling in me to remember truth is bigger than any fear. So what Holy Spirit is doing is reminding me to get in touch with that calling, that willingness, that desire to awaken, to remember truth. Because Holy Spirit knows that when I'm in touch with that, I'm in touch with my strength. And no fear can stop me. No fear at all can stop me when I'm in touch with my strength. So that's exactly what Holy Spirit's doing here in just a couple of sentences and a couple of questions. Holy Spirit is putting me in touch with my strength because that's what's going to pull me through the doubt. So again, Holy Spirit said, first, I would ask you to remember what you want. You are the Son of God. What do you want? Is it the experience of separation? Or is it the remembrance and knowledge of truth? So I came back with a but, and I'm always, whenever I see the word but, I'm always remembering an article I saw in a Pathways of Light magazine once. And the title of the article was, Ego Has a Big Butt. Ego has a big butt. So I'm coming back with ego. I'm answering Holy Spirit with ego, and I start with a but. But, I say, in times of strong doubt, we doubt that there is a reality beyond our current experience. And you can see this is that huge fear I described to you all, the fear that brought me to my knees. We doubt that there is a reality beyond our current experience. We may want it, but we doubt it. And that frightens us. And I'm kind of curious again who the us was here, because I didn't usually use that language at that time. And I know I'm speaking about my greatest fear, so it's interesting language. Maybe it was just easier for me to write with the us instead of the me. I don't know. But notice I'm really describing how much this fear frightens me. Even my greatest strength, which is my willingness or my desire to awaken, I'm afraid that even that is not enough to help me with this fear. Because this fear says that my willingness is foolishness. That my desire to remember my reality is insanity. Because only the world is real. And to want something else is stupid. And so if my mind is in that place, which is clearly ego's grip on me, how can my desire help me, I'm saying? How can my desire help me when I'm thinking that that which I desire is only fantasy? I'm telling Holy Spirit, this is the fear that can even kill my desire. Holy Spirit says, if you choose to listen to doubt, you are making a choice. If you want remembrance of truth, you will choose to transcend doubt. And you will transcend doubt and return to trust because you want to. So, although I don't appear to be arguing in truth, I'm arguing with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is saying, you know, depend on your strength to help you through this doubt. And I'm saying, my strength is not strong enough. And Holy Spirit is saying, no, your strength is strong enough. Holy Spirit's not buying that story, that my strength is not strong enough, because Holy Spirit knows that's not true. Holy Spirit says, if you choose to listen to doubt, you made a choice to listen to doubt. He's saying, you're so strong. You're so strong that whatever you choose, you will follow. It's because you chose it. It's not because you were a victim of it. It's not because you were too weak to resist it. It's because you chose to listen to it. And that strength cannot be beaten by anything. So see, the Holy Spirit is in no way confirming my imagined weakness. He says, if you choose to listen to doubt, you are making a choice. If you want remembrance of truth, you will choose to transcend doubt. And you will transcend doubt and return to trust because you want to. He's literally saying, you are strong. You are strength itself. He continues, do not underestimate the desire of the Son of God. It was the Son of God's desire to be separate that made this world. So it is his desire to let this experience go and return home that will lead him in that direction. Again, he's saying, look how strong you are. It was your desire to have this experience that created the world. And if now you want to leave a deluded state of mind and return to the knowledge of truth, it's your desire, the one that made the world, that will lead you back. Look at how strong you are. He continues, when doubt is upon you, remember what you want. Hold on to it, just as a child holds onto a security blanket. Your desire is much more powerful than you imagine. It will pull you through any amount of fear. And then he continues, also, when doubt is upon you, imagine it as a cloud that must pass by. Rest with your remembrance of light and your desire for light until the cloud has passed. This is funny to me now because, you know, I haven't read this message since January of 2006. And of course now, you know, as Paul Harvey would say, I know the rest of the story. So I know that like a year and a quarter later, you know, in April, no, 2 years and a quarter later, right? In April of 2008, I know I took the advice that's in this paragraph. I know that it was in April of 2008 that I rested. Like I said, I literally laid here on the love seat with my tongue hanging out for a week. But that's exactly what I did. I rested through that fear and I just let it come up and consume me and leave. In other words, it didn't really consume me, but it felt that way. And I told you that as I laid there, remember what I told you? I knew that it would pass and that I would be okay. Remember? So I took the advice of this paragraph 2 years and a quarter later. So I'm going to start the paragraph over. Also, when doubt is upon you, imagine it as a cloud that must pass by. Rest with your remembrance of light and your desire for light until the cloud has passed. Know that the cloud must pass, for anything that is not of truth cannot last. Its passing is evident of its own reality. And right now I just want to tell you that I'm feeling a wave of gratitude because I told you that I have not suffered with this fear since I spent that week on the love seat. And Holy Spirit says, its passing is evidence of its unreality. And then Holy Spirit says, and then notice what did not pass, what you kept with you, even in the darkest moments within the cloud. And this is true too, guys. I'm just feeling a ton of gratitude now. Notice what did not pass, what you kept with you, even in the darkest moments within the cloud. It was your desire for God, for love, for oneness, for peace, for joy, and for truth. Excuse me, I think I might cry. Having now experienced this, this is just so beautiful to me. He says, so that must be what is real, because that is what did last and did not pass away. And since that desire is within you, it must be that the remembrance of truth is within you too. For it was your remembrance that fueled your desire to remember. Remember I said, I said I wasn't quite sure what got me through the week, whether it was my trust or my remembrance. Well, here's the answer right here. He says it was actually remembrance. You know, not full remembrance that we would call awakening, enlightenment. But that which held me through the week was a remembrance. It was a knowing, and I described it as a knowing. It was a knowing, not a hoping. It wasn't a hoping. It was a knowing that this would pass and I would be okay. It was my remembrance that got me through that week of looking at the full force of doubt so that I could let it go. Again, Holy Spirit says, for it was your remembrance that fueled your desire to remember. Now, I want to read this again because what Holy Spirit is also telling us, Holy Spirit isn't just telling us how to let go of doubt, although that seems to be the subject at hand. But Holy Spirit is telling us the difference between what we are and what we aren't. You know, sometimes different experiences rise up for us. You know, we might have the experience of being very annoyed with someone. We might even have the experience of hating. And sometimes when we have these experiences, we think that's who we are. You know, as a woman, I might describe myself sometimes as a bitch. Like I was a real bitch to him, and I might feel like I'm a bitch. I remember when I was studying A Course in Miracles, the first time, I guess I am now again because I'm in a course group, but as they know, I actually didn't use it for a few years, so they know I'm picking it up again. But when I studied A Course in Miracles in 2004, 2005, my least favorite lesson, okay, my least favorite lesson in A Course in Miracles was the one that says, there is no cruelty in God and none in me. And do you know why that was my least favorite lesson? Because when I said it, I felt like a liar. When I said there is no cruelty in God and none in me, I felt like a liar because I thought I was cruel. I thought I was mean to my little girl. I didn't care enough about other people. I really thought I was cruel. So I hated that lesson because it felt like a lie. So what Holy Spirit is also telling us in this paragraph is the difference between what we are not and what we are. We may have experiences of feeling hatred, of feeling selfish, of feeling like a bitch, of feeling like an asshole, feeling cruel, however we feel that about ourselves. But that's not what lasts. What lasts, what is eternal for us, and what we're waking up to more and more and more, is love, peace, joy, acceptance. So although we experience that which isn't true, it passes. It's the cloud in the blue sky. What lasts, what we are, is the blue sky. And that's why we keep searching for that love, peace. Some people might even call it goodness. We search for that because that's our truth. We only want to know ourselves as we are. We created this experience so we could experiment with ourselves as being different. But what our true desire is to let that go and remember ourselves as we are. So again, with those two points of view in place, that this paragraph both tells us how to let go of doubt and it tells us how to recognize our truth, I'm going to read the paragraph again. So Holy Spirit says, "Also, when doubt is upon you, imagine it as a cloud that must pass by. Rest with your remembrance of light and your desire for light until that cloud has passed. Know that the cloud must pass, for anything that is not of truth cannot last. Its passing is evidence of its unreality. And then notice what did not pass, what you kept with you, even in the darkest moments within the cloud. It was your desire for God, for love, for oneness, for peace, for joy, and for truth. So that must be what is real, because that is what did last and did not pass away. And since that desire is within you, it must be that the remembrance of truth is within you too. For it was your remembrance that fueled your desire to remember." Now the last paragraph of the message. "When the doubt has passed, let yourself be grateful for the light, which is your truth and your guide. Pick up your trust, smile, and move forward with your guide to the remembrance of yourself." Ah, wasn't that a nice message? I hope it did for you what it did for me. If you're already at reginadonacres.com, what you can do is just scroll to the top of the page and click on where it says next entries. We're going to skip the single quiet thoughts and we're only going to the longer messages. When you get to where it says next entries, you're going to scroll down to a message dated January 17th. It's based on Lesson 14. For those of you who have joined us recently, I'm going to give you guys a new link. This is a link to January 2006 of my blog. Again, you're going to scroll down when you get to that page to Tuesday, January 17th. There's a message based on Lesson 14 in A Course in Miracles. God did not create a meaningless world. Does anybody have anything they want to share before we begin the new message? I'll just let go of the mic for a second and see. All right, then. I'll keep talking. Okay, so here we go. The question, Holy Spirit, what would you share regarding A Course in Miracles Workbook Lesson 14, God did not create a meaningless world? Here's the answer. This must be a simplified summary of what I have been teaching you through the book of Luke. For this is what I am teaching you through that book. So at this time, I'm guessing, I was literally writing or scribing the book of Luke. So this is where I was in NTI. And Holy Spirit has shown me that there is a connection between workbook lesson 14 and the book of Luke, which I would have been very familiar with if I was currently scribing it, as you can imagine. Holy Spirit says, if you begin with a premise or a thought that is not true, and then build on that thought, everything that follows is not true also. I'm going to read that two more times. If you begin with a premise or a thought that is not true, and then build on that thought, everything that follows is not true also. One more time. If you begin with a premise or a thought that is not true, and then build on that thought, everything that follows it is not true also. You know, and I've experienced this. The way it's all coming to my memory now is when rumors were started about me, but I'm sure I experienced it on the other end too. It's just that I believed the rumors, so I wasn't as aware of their falsehood. But when I heard ridiculous rumors about me, I was very aware of how false they were. So the first one that I remember ever happening was way back when I was 22. Way back when I was 22. I was in the military. I was actually just in training school. I hadn't even gone to my first assignment yet. And what happened for me was that I had a class three pap smear. So they put me in the hospital and they did what is called a DNC and conization. I'm still not quite sure what they did because I was out at the time. It was an operation, so I was asleep. But anyway, they did whatever they did to check and see if I had cancer, which I did not. But in the military, when you have an operation, you then get recuperation time. They don't send you right back to work. And I think it was 2 weeks I received. And so what they let me do, even though I was still in training, is they let me go back home for 2 weeks. So I went home for 2 weeks, and then when I came back, I continued my training. End of story. As you can tell, it's not a very exciting story. When I got back, I was surprised to find out that everyone in my class thought I had had an affair with our commanding officer, had become pregnant, had gone home to have an abortion. I was shocked, just shocked, because there wasn't an element of truth. The first idea that I would have had any kind of a relationship at all with our commanding officer, I mean, I didn't have any kind of a relationship at all. I mean, obviously I would salute him if I passed him on the sidewalk, but you know, you don't get pregnant that way. I don't even remember what he looked like. Cliff is asking if he was good looking. I don't even remember at all what he looked like. So you can tell how deep my relationship was with him. But you can see that the first thought, however that started, I have no idea, but the first thought that I would have even had a relationship with him was untrue. Therefore, the whole story that followed was untrue also. That's what Holy Spirit is saying here. If you begin with a thought that is not true, and then you build on that thought, everything that follows is not true too. But what's interesting is when I returned from my leave, everyone thought it was true. And maybe to this day, some of those people still think I had an abortion, you know, went home and had an abortion. Who knows? And what Holy Spirit wants us to realize is this is what we're doing when we believe in the world. Okay, so let's continue with Holy Spirit's message. I'm going to read that sentence again and then we'll continue. But this is a very important sentence. If you begin with a premise or a thought that is not true, and then build on that thought. You know, Cliff has written, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave." Certainly that was true of this, you know, magnificent story of my abortion. But it's also true of this world. What a magnificent web we weave. The world is a magnificent web. If you begin with a premise or a thought that is not true, and then build on that thought, everything that follows is not true also. I don't know why I have trouble reading the "it" in that sentence, but I do. Now, Holy Spirit says, for example, a child has a belief that there are things that exist in the dark that do not exist in the light. Beyond that belief, anything the child images based on the belief is also untrue. It does not matter if the child imagines monsters under the bed, in the closet, within a picture, or out the window. It does not even matter how real or terrifying they seem to be. The monsters in which the child believes cannot be real because the premise or founding thought has no truth in it. The truth that there's something in the dark, that something exists in the dark that did not exist in the light. That as soon as the lights go out, there's more stuff there than there was a moment ago. Holy Spirit says, this is true of your world and all that you imagine in your world. Your world and your self-concept are based on a belief that you and all that you experience can be separate from God. Since you believe in something that is separate from eternal safety, you believe in death. Since you believe in something separate from eternal peace and joy, you believe in fear. Since you believe in something other than eternal oneness and love, you believe in guilt. But since nothing is separate from God, all that you imagine, which is not God, is not real. That is a simple fact based upon the law of God. Here's the law of God. That which is can only come from the extension of reality. I remember one day I was driving to, I think it was Lisa and Peter's house. I was on my way to Lisa and Peter's house. Some of you guys know them. They were up in Pennsylvania at the time, Lancaster County. And on the way, there were some wildfires. In fact, it must have been pretty dry because I actually passed more than one wildfire on the way to their house. But traffic was stopped, so you're literally sitting there watching the fire burn on the edge of the road while the firemen are fighting it. And I remember looking at that fire and realizing that there was a first flame that came from a cigarette or whatever, ever, and then it spread and spread and spread, but it was all still fire. There was nothing but fire there. And that's when I had my first glimmer of the idea that only God could be. That if all there was God, whatever God is, if all there was God, then all there was to spread was God. You know, fire doesn't spread and turn into water or spread and turn into flowers. Fire spreads and remains fire. So if all there is God, then all there can be is God. You know, just like, again, if we took Play-Doh and we made a whole city out of Play-Doh, we still only have Play-Doh. We don't suddenly have silver or gold. That which is can only come from the extension of reality. So if I think I see something, other than God, Spirit, Light, then I'm wrong. That's what this is saying. I'm wrong. Now that doesn't make sense in the thinking mind at all. I mean, how can I be wrong that this cup of water is a cup of water? Because it's so obviously a cup of water with ice in it, you know? And how can I be wrong that this is a microphone? And how can I be wrong that this is an ink pen? And so Holy Spirit continues, the reason this is confusing for you is because everything that you believe is real. You know, and that might be true with some of those people who thought I went and had an abortion. You know, when I came back from that leave, they may even believe that they saw me and the commanding officer exchanging glances. Or they may believe that they saw me purposely walking out of my way so that, you know, I wouldn't have to pass him because now I was uncomfortable after our experience. It wouldn't matter what I told them. The truth was, they were so convinced of what they believed that that is what they would see. And unless they were willing, unless they wanted, unless there was something in them that was willing to believe they were wrong. Like I said, to this day, you know, they might still think, nope, you know, Regina went and had an abortion. Here she is 25 years later in Pal Talk still lying about it. Right? If that's how they want to see. So, oh yep, Colleen has her hand up, so I'll release the mic and then we'll get back to the paragraph next. But Colleen, please take it away.
Hi everyone. Hi Regina. I hope you don't mind me just taking a couple minutes because I was so intrigued, Regina, by what you were speaking of. And I just wanted to share a very quick story. I won't get into all the details. Some of the people here will understand there's this saga of this relationship I had, which I had to end. I ended it yesterday. And you were talking about how, like my lessons as of late has been about seeing the light. And the light in everyone. And I was in a very intense relationship where a person, his feelings became very intense very quickly. And he spoke of marriage, he had me moving in, etc. But he started to become very emotionally abusive because his incredible fear, and it was an incredible lesson in fear, was that I was going to go away. And it's amazing what will manifest when your fear is that it was palpable. But it became abusive because I believe he started to pick up on the fact that it wasn't going to last. And he would say things like, I have a new business partner. I'm starting with business next year. And he said, and he was an attractive man who's a doctor, a physical therapist. And he said, I want to meet him. And when I shake his hand, I'll shake it in a way he'll know that if he lays a hand on you, that's what he has to deal with because he's a bodybuilder. So I knew this was really getting emotionally abusive, and I didn't know how far it would go. But the reason I share that little bit of background, it was much more. He wasn't in love with me. He was in love with, you know, this idea, this form. But I was not, I had to end it. So I asked the Holy Spirit, and this was interesting, Regina, I thought of you. I sent him an email yesterday, and it was a long email, and it was very effusive, and I knew he probably wouldn't get it. Probably say most of it was BS, but it was nothing but love. And I tried to share, to show the light that was in him and said, you know, you seem to need to hurt something you fear you're going to lose, but I can't give you really what you need, but you already have everything. And I read part of it on my lesson last night. You have everything you need. You're already magnificent. I mean, you have a fear of fat people, but that's why he's a bodybuilder, because of many things. And I tried to bring that out a little without preaching, you know, and I thought it was, I was very pleased with it. I don't know where it came from. I wrote it, an hour later I read it, and I'm like, who wrote that? And I realized it was the Holy Spirit, because when I lay down, I heard this voice say, thank you, Colleen. So I was very happy with it. But he called the next day about 15 times, finally had to take the call. Long made short, I was basically told to go to hell. And all the things he was saying was, this is why it didn't work, Colleen, because of this and this. You don't own a car, you're in transition, blah, blah, blah. And I could have got dirty because I met someone else, and this person has absolutely no problem picking me up. And it's a wonderful man and a very different relationship. It's a breath of fresh air. But I still couldn't say anything to him. I kept thinking, you know, don't hurt this person, because I could have hurt him and said, oh, yeah, there's a problem with the car. Well, guess what? I'm dating a pilot, and it doesn't seem to be a problem, and this man's wonderful, and I didn't. And I said, you know, do you understand why this really ended? Do you realize? And he just said, go to hell. So it was, but I could not come out. I just kept maybe trying to ask him questions, but I kept seeing the light in him and thinking, this, he's wonderful. And I said to him, I sent him an email afterwards, and I'm sorry it ended up in this way, but I think you're wonderful, and I did love you. So anyway, I just wanted to share that, because I really feel like with the Course in Miracles, when you really begin to take it on, the idea of attacking someone, it seemed ridiculous to me. Even though my ego wanted to strike back, I thought about it. I didn't, because I listened to the ego saying, go ahead, tell him you met someone, tell him. But I chose instead not to. So I just wanted to share that, because I feel I'm very drained from it. It's very draining, and it was scary, and I doubted myself for a minute, saying, God, is he right? But I knew he wasn't. I knew he wasn't right. So anyway, hope you don't mind. But it was just a very powerful, powerful experience. Thanks.
I never mind sharing the mic. I love hearing other voices other than mine. And you have such a wonderful energy. I think it's probably a great, if anybody was falling asleep with my energy, I think your energy was just great. It's a very happy, very upbeat energy. Also, I want to thank you for, you know, noticing ego thoughts in your mind and not following them. That's what we all need to do, and we just need to get better and better and better at uncovering what is ego and learning not to listen to it. That's how we remove the obstacles to what we are. So thank you for doing that, noticing ego and where you saw it, not listening to it. I appreciate that for all of us. You know, one day somebody asked why I appreciated his willingness, or appreciated it when he let go of ego, when he didn't listen to ego. And the real reason is because I do realize that we are one. And I realize that anything that any of us do in the process of letting go of ego, in the process of awakening, we actually do for all of us. So I see us as a team, a team of one working together to the same goal. And I also think that's true of everyone, regardless of whether they're conscious of that or not. They show up for us. Hello, Jasmine. You need something, my love? Oh, thank you.
There's a box inside the box, and tightly fitted, there's another box.
Okay, thank you. She made me a present while I was talking. But even the people...
Okay, bye.
Bye, see you later. Even the people who aren't consciously on the path of awakening that show up in our lives, they show up in a way that's perfect to help us see our ego and let go of it. So, you know, again, I see us as a team. We're all working together for the same goal, and I'm really grateful for that. All right, so let's get back to this message. So again, you know, Holy Spirit had just said that which is can only come from the extension of reality. And if we use, you know, Colleen's example, since that's the story we most recently heard, you know, we could take a person who appears to be abusive or appears to be controlling or appears to be demanding. And we may even believe that. We may believe this person is abusive. This person is controlling. This person is demanding. But what Holy Spirit is saying is, no. It's only light. It's only light. It's only light. And when we believe, no, he's abusive. You know, I have this evidence. He's abusive. you know, we're believing the world. And the reason that none of the world is true is, remember that sentence up above that says, if you begin with a premise or a thought that is not true, and then build on that thought, everything that follows is not true also. If all we have is God, then all we have is God. Just like if all we have is fire, then all we have is fire. Or if all we have is Play-Doh, all we have is Play-Doh. So if we begin with the belief that there is something other than God, that's a false belief. And then we build on that and we create the tangled web that Cliff was talking about. It's a tangled web of false statements, a tangled web of false beliefs. And we can believe it and believe it and believe it, just like a lot of people believed I had an affair and had an abortion, but it doesn't make it true. It only means that we're caught up in our false belief. It only means that we are deluded. It only means that we are seeing something that literally is not there. And that's why Holy Spirit says, the reason this is confusing for you is because everything that you believe is real. And you are not fully willing to let go of your belief as yet. However, your choice to believe it does not make it so. I ask of you, just as you would ask of a child who believes in monsters in the dark, give me your trust, and I will comfort you. Continue to listen to me and learn from me. One day, you too will see that there cannot be monsters in the dark, because there cannot be monsters within the light. So right now, there may be stories in our lives that we believe in. And in fact, there seems to be evidence, true evidence, it seems, that these stories are real. Holy Spirit is literally asking us to trust Him above everything that we think, see, hear, feel, and experience. Because we're caught within a tangled web of false story built upon the one false belief that there could ever be something other than God. And that is an impossibility. We aren't asked to lie about what we believe. We're just asked to willingly follow Holy Spirit until we see for ourselves that we were wrong. We're asked to willingly continue to follow that guidance that comes to us through A Course in Miracles, NTI, thousands of other sources, comes to us through the inner voice. Keep practicing the practices that are brought to us, learning to recognize ego more and more and lay it aside. Continue to trust the Holy Spirit. Whenever we're upset, realize if I am upset, it's because my ego is in the way. Ask Holy Spirit to help me see my error. Just keep doing this stuff in trust until we see for ourselves that all there is God. And that's it. Jasmine, would you like to say goodnight to everyone?
Good night.
You're looking to see who you know?
Yeah. Ivy.
Yeah, and you know what? Sandra, I don't know if you remember Sandra. She comes to the meeting tomorrow night. She's usually the last one to arrive. I'll point her out to you.
I remember.
Okay. That's her. She's here tonight. So you know her. Of course, you know Bill Free. All right. And then who are you going to meet at Be the Love?
Duh. I heard you're tall.
Yeah.
That's what my mommy said.
Yeah, he's tall. All right. Well, good night, everyone. I'll be back Friday at 2. Say good night, Jasmine.
Good night.
No, I thought she'd say good night, Jasmine, but she's not into old jokes, I guess.
Good night, Jasmine.
All right. Good night, everyone.